I want you to open your Bible tonight, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I've got several scriptures. I want to share something else with you. Why do I do what I do? Now, if you was in a car, it was on fire, and nobody could get you out, and I knew where the button was, and went and got to risk my life and got you out of the car alive, and you didn't burn up, you're still alive. When you thank me, huh? Well, that's what Jesus did for you and I. So here's why I do it. Now, I'm going to tell you why that I'm here tonight to tell you what God did for an uneducated coal miner. I'm under orders to do so. It says, David said, Psalm 145, you want to turn there, let me read it to you, it takes too long. I will extol thee, that meant I will praise thee. David said, I will praise thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and great to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now listen, here's why I'm here. The next verse in 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another. Now that's what I'm going to do tonight. I tell you, I didn't have the benefit these young people had. I'd give $1 million tonight if I could have been raised in a church, how some boys and girls are doing, but I never had that opportunity. I've got much more the old devil can tempt me with, because I lived in sin for 20-some years and did everything that I shouldn't have done. But here's what it says. One generation shall praise thy works to another. So I'm a generation. I'm telling these young people, that's another generation coming up. I'm telling them what God did for me. Then I'm praying that you open your heart and let God guide you. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that God loves somebody more than others. God loves us all the same, but the better we treat God, the more we get out of him. I've used this illustration a lot. I told the pastor today, the better you treat your wife, the better she treats you. But the better we treat Jesus, the better he treats us. Now, salvation is free, but anything you get after God, you earn it after that. You work for it. Now, again, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. That's what I'm going to do tonight. I've already told you. That book, it's free, don't cost you anything. I started the website just so people could read what God did. I want to teach another generation. Now, why? Let me ask you. A lot of you young people here, a lot of people in here are younger than I am. I'm going to raise them. But in teenagers, I didn't hear this. How much more you could do for God than I could do, than I've done? So you got a head start on me. A lot of you got a 20 years head start. I didn't know John 3:16 probably until I was 30 years old. Memorize it. How many knows John 3:16? See how much you got on me? There's no reason why, if you listen to me tonight, and let me tell you one of the reasons why. I told you this morning, the pastor rehearsed it in here. The first thing I do every morning, I meet with God. Before I talk to my wife, you need to have a room you meet with God. They need a place where that you get acquainted with God. And I showed the place this morning, and in my office before I go in, I said, God's room. And I'll stop and examine myself. I'm going in there to talk to God. I'm going to ask God to guide and lead me today and take control of my life. God, I want you to forgive me for any sin I haven't confessed. Forgive me. I'm going in. I picture like a priest went in the Holy of Holies. It's not, but I try to get my heart right in the morning and let God know I love him. Let Jesus know I love him. Now, that's one of the reasons why that God blessed me. I meet with God. I talk with God the first thing in the morning. And I showed you this morning, Psalm 631, I met God in the morning. My day was its best. His presence came like a sunrise and like a glory in my breast. All day long, he stayed with me. I'm quoting something other now. My mind went another direction. I've heard so many life-changing messages. I don't even know who I am. But I'm having the time of my life. I'm a happy man. There's very few men that had made the money, and I'm making plans to die broke. I've already given away about $40 million to Jesus. And so I've got fun. I met a lady while I go in the Philippines. I spent Iloilo this week. I sent $15,000 to Iloilo. And I've got the girls. You ought to see the young ladies with our dresses down to their knees, below their knees, and playing instruments. It bless your heart to see what a sold out group of Christians we have over there. But one generation shall praise that word. So if God does something for you, it's just right you should tell somebody else, right? But should we not brag on God? Huh? That's what I'm going to do. Now, in John chapter 15, I want to show you something in John chapter 15. It says, let's see, where should I start? It's all good. Okay, verse 26, John 14, 26. Let me back up just a few verses. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father said in my name, he shall teach you all things. What don't you know that you'd like to know? Let me tell you, you're going to teach us the Holy Spirit of God. But I want to get you acquainted tonight with the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The last few verses in Acts chapter 8, when Stephen was stoned to death, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he looked up into heaven, he saw God and Jesus on his right hand, right? The little boy went home and said, I found out God's going to destroy the world with his left hand. Why is it Jesus sitting on his right hand? You're supposed to laugh. It's not a sin to laugh and enjoy your life. And so I tell some funny stories sometimes. And so, but said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom my Father will send in my name, he shall teach your thing. Now look, I'm going to be teaching, I'm going to tell you, in a minute I'm going to come down, I'm going to show you how that you can win your loved ones to Christ. You got brothers and sisters, you've got fathers and my grandfathers, that they need to hear the gospel and be saved. They need to present it in a right way. I'm going to teach you tonight how to say it. Look at John chapter 15, verse 8. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Fruit there, you win people to Christ. So shall you be my disciple. Now if you turn to 15, 16. Now if you want to get your prayers answered, you want to get an increase in pay, then obey 15, 16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Now Jesus is talking to her, and I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. But here's what Jesus said. He said, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit. You should tell other people about Jesus and bring other people out here. When I get back home, there's some bus girls sang at my church last Sunday on a bus and that. And they blessed my heart so much, I left during the invitation, went and found them out, and I gave them all a $20 bill. I said, it's bus girls. I'm going to go to the bus director next week, and I'm going to say, I want you to tell those girls, I'm going to take a bunch of $20 bills and let them show them. Everybody, if you'll bring one teenager next week, I'll give you $20. You can go and get one to go, and you can split it, nothing else, 10 to 10. But if I can get some teenagers there, they're going to get saved. I live but for one thing, that is exalt and multiply the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Now, let me show you something else here. Now, when you witness someone, I've got to explain that to you. This is it. You cannot win anyone to Christ. Now, let me show you, John chapter 16, verse 7. Now, you look here. It says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you, that it's necessary for you that I go away. Now, Jesus is getting ready to tell his disciples, I'm going to go away, but if I send somebody else just as personal as I am to represent me, he's going to send the Holy Spirit down. Nevertheless, I tell you, it's expedient for you, necessary, that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. That means you and I cannot reprove. We can tell them. We can tell them how to go. But that's Holy Spirit's job. Our responsibility, and I'll tell them maybe on again tonight, is talk to your ears when I'm talking to somebody about getting saved. I'm talking to the ear. Now, I can't do anything about the heart. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to get a hold of the heart and the head. See, that. Look what it says there. The Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, what will he do? He reprove of sin and judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. You know why people go to hell? They don't believe on Jesus. They never trust him. And they're going to, your relatives, your brothers, your sister, mom, and dad are going to burn in hell. Now, right now, I've already got 10 or 12 of my relatives up there, my mother. If my mother could talk to you tonight from heaven, she'd say, yeah, my son just kept coming and coming and getting me and taking me to church. I didn't think I didn't go that the last night I went. I didn't go to get saved. But I cried practically in the night, walking with the Bible in my hand. I told about it this morning and shedding tears. And so... but she said, no, I'm not going to get saved tonight. When the invitation started, she sat the third row back here, and she's the first one to the altar and got saved. She said, I got saved because my brother got a burden for me. My brother told me, my son. Then I got brothers up there. I got a sister and got a lot of cousins and uncles and aunts. See, if somebody had explained it to me the way I'm going to explain it to you tonight, that you, now you got to remember, when you talk with somebody, you can't do it. That's what the Holy Spirit come. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. That reprove means convict and show them. And said, of sin, because they believe not on me. And so, now, in Ezekiel, I don't know if you turn it, I'm going to read you. God saved you and I for a purpose. See, God's got an investment in you. He owns you and I. And so, since he has an investment in us, he said, he's talking to us. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning. Warn them, and then win them. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. Now, you don't talk about Jesus. You don't try to win anybody to Christ. Now, here's what's going to happen. If you don't warn them, if you don't try to win your relatives, you imagine seeing your brother, sister, mom, and daddy in hell burning up. And they said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Thou shalt surely die. When I say unto the wicked, unsaved, thou shalt surely die. And thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. This same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You want to meet Jesus with bloody hands? I don't want to. Plus, he promised a reward. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. So I started out on a mule down in Kentucky. We had an old mule, and I started out on a mule. Now I got me a bicycle, $12, worked in hills cutting timber. I got $12, bought a bicycle. Then later on, I made a little more money, and I made bought a car for $60, an old Buick. I was still going to school, and that car was taking $2 a day, and I got figured out, I only got enough money for another 3 months. I'm going to get rid of that car. And I got rid of it. Then after God saved me, and so I began to make money, and of course, I've driven, you name the cars, I've had them and driven them, given them away. I've given, I don't know how many Cadillacs away. I gave a Cadillac away last year, James Reed. You know James Reed? Went to college and married one of the Japanese sisters. He and Kapesi. He got a big church in Hawaii. I gave him a Jaguar and a Cadillac. The condo I live in is leasing the land, the parking next door, and the guy said, I'm not going to lease it. They had a 40-year lease ran out. They had what few was left. They wanted to sell them for $35,300-some dollars a month. I said, I can take a taxi $10 a week everywhere I want to go, and I don't have to pay the insurance and get them safety check and all that. I figured I'd save $4,000 last year for not having a car. And so, but anyway, long story. Now, so therefore, now, what I'm going to teach you tonight, I'm going to come down here. Me and the pastor is going to sit here. I'm going to explain to him like I'm going to win him Christ. It would be a great favor if you people would come here, because I'm going to sit here and explain something to you. Let's go down tonight, Pastor.
So if you're sitting kind of in the back corner, so I'm kind of, it's different tonight, okay? You don't have to, it's not like you're changing your seat forever or anything like that. If you want to get closer,
you can. One knee's been replaced, and the other one needs it.
There you go. That way you want to look at it. You don't want to be.
See, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give everybody a track tonight. I want everybody in here to have one of these. Now here, on this side here, I'll start giving them out. Just the adults, just you take one. Now, give them, if they can read, let me give you some. There, let me give you some. Give them out back there. Everybody has to get one. I like your singing, honey. I'm going to give you one. You have one? Now, I'm going to show you tonight. You have one? I bought the copyright on this track, had it changed a little bit. I've used it for, I used to have three secretaries in my office. I had seven businesses, and so, and they put them in every time I sent a bill out or paid a bill, they sent tracks on. And so, I was in the airport in Manchester, New Hampshire, last year. About 6 o'clock in the morning, I was catching a plane back to Detroit, and there's a man walking around, he's a public relations man. He's walking around greeting everybody, and I was sitting over by myself reading, studying the Bible. I guess I was forced from him, here's that wall. He had a big sign on him right here that said, you got a question? Ask me. He walked through the airport. He walked over and said, sir, how are you this morning? I said, I'm doing fine this morning. How are you? I said, I see that sign there. I said, I've got a question. Can I ask you a question? Yeah. I said, I'm going to get on that airplane in a minute. I'm going to fly to Detroit. If that airplane goes down and it crashes, we all get killed. I want to go to heaven. Can you tell me how to go to heaven? What? What? I said, yeah, I want to go to heaven. When I die, I'm getting old. And I said, can you tell me how to go to heaven? Well, I said, I guess just follow your faith. I said, I got a better idea. I pulled this track out, and I said, I went through the plan. I explained it to him, went through the plan of salvation. I said, now, I'm going to get on that airplane in a few minutes, and we'll go to Detroit, and you can't get on it because you don't have a reservation. And I said, you got whosoever to call for the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got the reserve. It's too late to try to make a reservation after you die. You can't. You be in hell, you cry. You can cry for a drink of water like the rich man did. And so I said, now, would you like to bow your head right now and ask Jesus Christ for your sins and make a reservation in heaven? Yes, I would. After he prayed, you know what he said to me? Mister, I've talked to thousands of people in the airport. You're the first man. You've helped me more than any other man. And he pulled out a card. He's an author, and he speaks on broad that. And he's written several books and gave me his card and thanked me for showing him how to go to heaven. Now, very few people, the way I explain it, they will not get mad and cuss you out. I'm going to explain it to you. I'm going to explain this tonight. If I meet him, someone, when I start talking to him on an airplane, when I got on an airplane and flew to Detroit, I was walking down the corridor like this, and a flight attendant, a young man about 25 years, come running up. Hey, mister, I know you was on my flight not long ago. I didn't remember. And I said, well, I'm glad that you remember me. I'm honored that you would do that. I said, by the way, I just flew in from Manchester, New Hampshire. And I said, let me tell you about my flight, why I got on that flight. I said, I made a reservation and got on it. And I said, let me show you about a reservation I made. I went through the plan of salvation, and there, you know, people walking up and down, he bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ, forgive me your sins and save me. See, it's amazing. And I've used this track, but I had to face up chain. Now, when I meet someone, just like on in this here, when we start in a minute, I'll tell you to open the track up. I only want you to open it one picture at a time when I get there. Okay? See, if I'm trying to talk to him and win him to Christ, and I pull the whole thing open, I'm trying to explain about hell, and he's looking way over here. He can't look over there, though, if I just show him one picture at a time. One picture at a time. And when I meet someone like that, I'll just start out and talking to them, and if they see they're friendly. And so, I just met him, and so we're talking a while, and then anything I can talk to him about. And then I would say, let me ask you a question. What's the greatest reservation you ever made in your life? Think about it. The greatest reservation you ever made, the most important one. While you think about that, let me show you. See, on the front here is what the most important reservation. Let me show you the most important reservation I ever made. I was 28 years old. I was drinking and done everything I shouldn't have done for 28 years. But here's what I heard. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you see. As it's written, there is none righteous, nor not one. If all have sinned, that makes me a sinner. Don't tell you, old sinner. I'm a sinner. See, it makes me a sinner. It makes you a sinner. Now, listen very carefully now. Very important. 63 people out of the last 67 has bowed their head and asked Christ to save them when I did it. And so, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, I already laid the groundwork for when he has come, the Holy Spirit's responsibility. When you're talking to him, he talks to the heart. He grips the heart, you see that? And so, all have sinned and come short of God. As written, there is none righteous, not one. There is none of understanding, there is none that seeketh after God. You understand that? You say you're a Catholic.
I'm Catholic.
Well, you're Catholic. Oh, all I've got to say is one word. You infant baptism and the Catholic Church is from hell. I've got a wall built. He won't listen to nothing else I say. If I say something critical, make him. You've got just a few words to not offend him. And here's what I'm gonna say. You're Catholic, buddy. That's good. You know you and I have something in common. I read in Luke chapter 1 where Jesus was born of a virgin. Now all Catholics believe in the virgin birth, Virgin Mary. And I said, I read in the Bible in Luke chapter 1 about the virgin birth, how the Holy Spirit conceived in Mary's womb, and she gave forth a child. He never had a human father like you and I. He was born of a virgin. I know you've been taught that in the Catholic Church, haven't you?
Right.
Yeah. And so, see, I've already won him over. I haven't even hurt his feelings. Now, if the same thing with the Jehovah's Witness, the same thing with the Methodist, all you baptized, or the Episcopalian, that infant baptism, I say, nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the Bible did they ever baptize a baby. I give you $1,000, you can find it. There's one place in the Bible where a baby died, David's baby died, and he fasted and prayed, he got it, washed his face, said, why are you eating now? He said, I can't bring the baby's dead, I can't bring it back, but someday I'm going to be where it is. After when all babies die, they go to heaven. And so, and Dr. Isle says, I think it's him I heard preach, they don't say babies up there, they grow. And so, but that's a different thing. But see, I don't want to offend him. A Jehovah's Witness. I've debated with them. Don't ever debate with the Jehovah's Witness. They're trained to jerk it out of context, one scripture and another. The only thing I ever say to a whole, I've learned this by experience. I was in, another country, Mexico. I think it meant, this is a country, Mexico, Acapulco. Me and my wife and tell man of that, here comes Jehovah's Witness up. And he started talking to me. I said, let me ask you a question. If you was to die right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? He said, no, I don't. I said, I do. Why should I trade what I have, what you don't have? But he said, let me show you that scripture here. I laid him read it. I said, that's interesting, but let me ask you a question. If you die right now, you know for sure you go to heaven? And he said, no. I said, I do. Why should I trade what you have? Well, let me show you this scripture. I said, well, that's interesting, but let me ask you a question. If you die right now, you know for sure you're going to go to heaven. That's the only thing you can say to them. They're tricked. The old devil's on their side now. Let me remember that. The devil has power. When Moses threw the staff down, the magicians threw the staff down, and their staff became snakes too. Now, the devil has power. And so, I just stay on that with them. But with I've debated with them for hours, but it's, you can't know where to. I have seen some make professions of faith, though. A few, but there are. The Bible says you're not supposed to let them in your house, by the way. 2 John 8, I think it is. And so now, see, I've already got him. He's Catholic. And I already told him, I said, you know, you and I have something in common. And so the virgin birth. And I tell him in Luke chapter 1 about that. And so I've got him going. Then it says, there is a way that seems right to, now just this picture, I want to show him this first picture. That's the only picture I want to show him. Now I'm going to turn it over after that. I'm going to turn it over to the next one. See the God's way and your way? Now right here, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end of the ways of death. I used to think I worked hard and paid my debts. That's my way seeming right. The heart is deceitful above the desperate and wicked, who can know it? Then I turned over to the third picture, which shows the lake of fire. I watch it folded just like this now. I don't want him to see the next picture, one picture. See, this got his, I've got his attention. You remember 90-some percent of what you see. I only remember 3 or 4% of what you hear. And so, I'm going to show him the lake of fire, you see. Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world. Now, you know the first man that ever sinned is Adam in the garden, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Well, we got their sin. Wherefore by one man, as Adam and Eve, sin entered the world, and death was sin, and death passed upon all men, all sin. Now, death passed on all. Someday, you and I are going to have to die. Now, if we die in our sins, we're going to go to hell. We're going to burn forever. I don't want to go there, do you? Okay, now let me show you what the way to heaven. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I want you to notice it's a gift. If you and I walk out that door and somebody give us a new Cadillac, it's a gift. We didn't work for it. Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through it. See, Jesus is the only way you go to heaven. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You don't have to be a member of a church. Now, a lot of people like to hear us and I say, you don't even have to be a member to be saved of a church. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to give money. You know, proof of that, the thief, there's two thieves on the cross died. Jesus was here and was thief here and there. One thief said, Jesus, you be the Son of God, why don't you cast yourself down? This other thief said, now, wait a minute now. You're not thieves. We got caught stealing. The law said we're going to die. We get what we get. But this is a just man. And he turned, you know what he said to Jesus? A lot of you know. Lord, remember thou me when I return to thy kingdom. Jesus said he recognized him as Lord. He believed in Jesus. And Jesus said, today, thou shalt be in paradise. He never joined a church, was never baptized, never gave any money. See? So they like to hear that. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I use it as said in there. Notice it's a gift, and it's only through Jesus. It's not through a church. It's not through baptism. Now, of course, Church of Christ believe you ask Jesus to save you, and you have to go in the water and get them washed off. You know, baptism is essential to heaven. They don't know what's going to happen to their sins that they commit after that. I don't know how they haven't thought of this. I studied that and got that out of commentary about a year ago. If the water washed their sins away was necessary, then you know they're going to sin all sin. He said if he sinned not the liar and truth not any. They sin and that. Now what's going to take care of their sins? You're going to go to hell, but but I won't say that to them. But I'm telling you, I don't want to say anything negative. Right. Until at the last. If I see no one of that and he wants to argue, I may then get a little negative. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. See, Jesus gives us eternal life, God does, when we accept Jesus. His blood covers all of our sins. That's why he died on the cross. Now, then the next thing is this. I'm going to turn and show him the next picture. Jesus on the cross. Here's why it is Jesus. You see Jesus hanging on the cross there? I'm going to show him. Penalty paid by Christ. God commended his love to us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now let me read that again. Jesus on the cross. And another good thing, like, remember, when Jesus was on the cross, he had you and I on his mind. Jesus knows everything. You know, someday you was going to be born, all of you in here. He knew that you were going to sin, and he wants to buy you back. He died for you. And penalty paid by Christ on the cross. While we were at sinners, Christ died for us. Let me give an illustration there. A boy bought a boat. Made him a little boat, sailboat. He prayed hours down on the ocean. One day a big wave come in and washed his boat away. About 6 weeks later, he was walking down the street, and he saw his boat in a window for sale. Somebody had found the boat and gave it to a pawn shop. And he walked in and said, "How much you want for that boat in the window there?" And the man told him, and he paid him and walked out. And he looked at the boat, and he said, "You're mine twice now. I made you, then I bought you." That's what Jesus did for you and I. He made us, and then he bought us when he died on the cross. "For he, that's God, have made Jesus sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see it? Then here's what we must do. Now I'm going to turn it over here where we must receive Christ. From Jesus on the cross, I'm going to turn to the next picture. Just one picture at a time. We must receive Christ. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." How do we become a son of God? By receiving Jesus, through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." "But as many as received him, to them gave he sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." That's what you do. See, when you believe on Jesus' name, then he gives you your sin. "Which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Then it says here, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's something we ask for. You know why our wives murdered us? We asked them. And so there's very few chances where the woman asked. But the man, we asked them. I've asked my wife when we married. I told the story this morning somewhere out here. Oh, yeah, I come through. I date my wife, and I said, we're not on death. I said, "You think, what do you think about us getting married?" She said, "How much money you got saved?" "I hardly anything. I got about $20. She said, "I think we ought to have $2,000 at least to get started on." I said, "Well, I'll start working on that." About a month later, I had her out, and we had a good time on a date. And she said, "How much money you got saved for the marriage?" "I got $31. She said, "That's close enough. Let's go." That's not so. I told that to get your story. You put a little humor in it. Anytime you can put humor and get people laughing, that's what I told it for. That works, you see. You understand that? This morning, they wouldn't laugh. I tell jokes, it's just down. I told about the tithing. You know, I know why everybody laughs as they accept them this morning. Are you sure any of these people are tithing over this morning? "For whosoever calls me, Lord, shall be saved." Now, I told you a while ago, the most important reservation I ever made. When I told him, "What's the important reservation?" I said, "Let me tell you the most important reservation I ever made." When I was 28 years old, I heard how Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And here's what I did. I go on my knees, I said, "Dear Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins and save me and take me to heaven when I die." And it says here in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Actually, I made a reservation, right? Mm-hmm. I've got a reservation made in the morning. While you all are sleeping, he's going to pick me up. Four? Yeah.
Whenever it is.
Yeah, four. I could be an hour and a half early. I got to get there at 4:30. See the joy that a millionaire has? Get up. I won't have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Huh? Huh? You know why? I count it a great joy to do something for Jesus. Yeah. He did so much for me. I should be in hell right now at 7 car wrecks. Police shooting at me through 3 counties one time in Kentucky. Never did hit me. Praise God. God spared my life till I hear the gospel and be saved. So actually, who serves a call? See, I call it. Now I'm going to get serious again. I'll tell you. Shall be saved. Now, that's what I did when I was 28 years. I asked Jesus to save me. Actually, I made a reservation. And if I die right now, I've got a reservation already made. If I can't get on an airplane without a reservation, can't get a doctor without a reservation, I've got a reservation made. Now, have you ever made that reservation? No, you haven't. Just say no, you haven't. Would you like to make that reservation right now? 63 out of 67 people. Two of them was already saved. I sat in the airport in Atlanta, and the guy, Joe Arthur, you know who Joe Arthur is? He's evangelist, speaks in churches all over. He's like a monkey, jumped all over the pulpit. And after twice, I ran into the airport. I was sitting eating in a club, and he was behind me. He said, "Dr. Anderson, he wasn't sure it was me." And I turned around. I told him what God had been doing to this track. And a man that's working there in the kitchen walked by, and he said, "Mister, I like your tie. I wore Christian ties a year ago." And so I got about 20 different kinds. And he said, "I like that tie." I said, "Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you what he did for me." And a few minutes, I pulled this out, and within 10 minutes, that man bowed his head and asked Christ to save him, Joe Arthur. He's a very famous speaker. And so he bowed his head and got saved. See, God gave him some reason why not. See, I told him right there. Then he said, that boy, after he got saved, he said, "Where you live?" And told him, he said, "My church is just about 20 miles from here." He said, "Give me your name. I'll call in your address." Then I left there and went to the gate to get on, and there's some lady about 65, 70 years old, and had her little short pants on here, breeches over here, and she pulled it up like this, and she's scratching her leg like this. I walked by, and I said, "Lady, don't you know your mama whipped you showing a man your leg above the knee?" She laughed. Everybody laughed. I sat down and got acquainted with her, and just a few minutes led her to Christ. Now, again, this track can't win anybody. It keeps your attention. Now, he's Catholic. I already told him. Now, let's suppose he disagrees with me, at last he won't disagree with me. Well, now, I say this. Now, you're Catholic, and I'm a Baptist. I don't tell people I'm a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of it. Somebody asked me one time if I wasn't a Baptist, what I'd be. I said, "I'd be ashamed. That's what I'd be." You're supposed to laugh. I'm not ashamed of Baptists, because John the Baptist, we're still yet preaching the same thing John the Baptist preached. You have to be born again to go to heaven. See, we preaching the doctrine, and that's through that. Okay, let's suppose he won't argue it. Well, at last, looked like, let me tell you one. Let's suppose he refused it. He didn't accept Christ. Well, let me tell you one thing to think about. I'm a Baptist, and you're a Catholic. I'm going to go to heaven, and you're not. You're not going to go to heaven. You know why? You haven't done what your Pope said to do. I'm a Catholic. I did what your Pope told me to do. Acts 2, chapter 14, Peter begins to preach, Catholic's first Pope. Acts chapter 36, he quits preaching. And the people all around there said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter, the Pope, said, "Repent, then be baptized, whatever your name is, Jesus Christ, for remission of sin." I did what your Pope told me to do. I go on my knees, I repent of my sin, and I was baptized later on. So I did what your Pope, and I'm going to go to heaven, and you're not, because you knew what your Pope told you to do. Now, how do you like that? I mean, you don't know, not that forceful. You say it smiling and softly. Now, would you like to do what the Pope told you to do? And get to hell? If you do what I did, you go to hell. The Pope said it. You think Pope would lie? No. Some of them say sometimes, "Well, I think it's all right to be baptized first." Oh, you know more about the Bible than Peter does. I thought Peter's the vicar of the church. What he says, his word's law. You can't change it. And so here's what Peter said. And not what I said. Not what a Baptist said. I did what the Baptist said. So there's the two things there, 63 out of 67. Now, then when he says, "Yes, I'd like to pray," well, I want you to pray. Now, I can't do anything for you, but Jesus can. You're going to talk to Jesus, not me. I can't do anything for you. And so he'll pray and ask Jesus to forgive him of his sins and save him. Now, here's a clincher. After he prayed, he called upon him. Then I'm going to turn it over to the back page. I'm going to hand him this tract here. Always carry a pen. Now, you're up here. You got one. You up here where it says name? Write your name down there. I get them write their name with my pen. I said, "I'm going to give you this. I'm not going to take it with you." Now write the date down. What's the 22nd? Huh?
23rd.
23rd? Okay. Now if somebody asks you tomorrow, now here's how you get assurance. I lead you to Christ in your home, and when I leave, the old devil said, "You made a fool of yourself. You didn't do a thing. You're not saved. That's too easy." But down, when you write this down, if somebody asked you 2 weeks from now, if you ever made a reservation for heaven, what are you going to tell them? When did you make it?
Today.
Somebody asked you 2 years from now, if you ever made a reservation for heaven, what are you going to tell them?
Yeah.
See, they got the assurance. You see, most people are wanting some emotional thing to happen when you get saved, but you do that by faith. Some people does cry, but it don't help them get saved. They don't say, "If who's ever called me Lord and cries, they'll be saved." Don't say that. But some are more emotional. So I give them this here and walk away. But remember, smile and the You don't, even if you know they're wrong doctrinally, you tell them what you did. You know, one of the best things you can do, you talk to an atheist, well, let me tell you what God did for me. He can't argue with that. You know, you didn't take a quote a verse out of the Bible or trying to use the Bible on. Just tell him what God did for you, being an atheist, anyone. Now, two people already were saved out of the 67 and 63. Bowed their head and asked Jesus Christ to forgive them their sins and save them, and got their assurance right there. Now, this will work. I know it'll work. Now, I've got some more tracts here, and here's what I'll do for the church. If you go out and prove them and try it yourself, try it on your husband. Now, this is big stuff. When I first heard the Romans Road, who Dr. Hiles taught it, first heard, I'd practice. I'd get in the bathroom and practice. I was scared to death. Mm-hmm. Oh, you always scared. But remember, the Holy Spirit's got to do it now. I'm going to talk to his ears. Who's going to talk to his heart? God. God, the Holy Spirit. That's his. It's up to him to convict, not me. I can't convict him. I can only expose his sin and tell him about it. Then the Holy Spirit, see, is going to say, and Dr. Hiles, I heard him announce it like this. He'd have some man behind him. See, behind when I'm talking, the Holy Spirit, you can't see him. You can't see God. His person, he's here. God sees us. He knows what we're doing. There's angels. There's spirits all around us right now. We got guardian angels all around. We can't see them, but they can see us. You see? And Dr. Howell says that a lot of times, now you know you're a sinner. If you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. And the Holy Spirit says, he's telling you the truth. He's telling you the truth. He's telling you the truth. In his ears, in his heart. That's the Holy Spirit's job. When you tell him, to confirm in him that you're telling him the truth. And the Holy Spirit does the convicting. You understand? Now, why most people won't do that, walk up. Now, here's what I do. If I walked up to you, you're not saved. Hey, have you ever been born again? See, born again? Born twice? Why, you can't. Well, Nicodemus, what he said, how can a man enter his mother's womb and be born a second time? What are you, a fool? Have you ever been born again? They know nothing about theology. They don't know what you and I know. And so, see, a lot of tracts, let me tell you the importance of this tract, Pastor wrote that. Dr. John Rice wrote a good tract, What Must Do to Be Saved? It's about 30 pages long. A baby, when you get feed a baby, it don't want a steak, it wants milk. It's not ready for a steak, you see? So it's milk. It's what it was. But doctrine comes later on, like eternal security. Once saved, you're always saved. I fought that for years, for months. I used to argue with my wife and argue with my pastor. I thought, if I go out and get drunk again, then I go to heaven? I didn't know anything about theology. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? How long is everlasting? Million years? Billion years? Trillion years? It's forever, isn't it? But see, I had a hard time grasping that. It took me, but I had to grow. I had to grow. One day I was driving my truck and visiting my men. I had men scattered all over the county dealing with material. I looked over in the car and saw a bunch of pretty girls in a convertible. My mind went the wrong way. Holy Spirit said, now, how big of a sin do you have to commit before you go to hell? I got eternal security. God loves us when we're bad. We love our children, whether they're obedient or disobedient. The more obedient we are, our children does, the more obedient you are, the more you get out of mom and dad. The more pop and ice cream you get out of them. And the more obedient we are to Christ, the more we live here. I want to thank you all for leaving your home tonight and coming out and to hear me tonight, to teach. See, millions of Christians not done. They'll never have the opportunity. God would never let them make the kind of money I made. Suppose when I told you how many was here this morning. You heard me tell how that builder went broke and broke me. Let's suppose I went out in the bars and the old devil tried to get me to come back and start drinking in bars and remind me of the things I did. Suppose I did that and quit the church. Where would I be today? Where would you be today? Parents, if you quit letting your children come up here and they turn wrong and one night they come out and say, well, one day she come in, I've got bad news, I'm going to have a baby. Remember, Brother Anderson told you, you better keep your children in this church. God is the only chance right now. God is the only chance for us to raise our children right. That's why I had my church. My children tell you, I got letters say Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And on Saturday, they go soul winning, have parties, and they throw paintballs at one another. My children had the time of their life at church down Saturday. I had them there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. It's the biggest thing that you can have. There's nothing more better when a man like this would give his life. And after he prepares a message and comes here to feed you all, if they don't show up, then 3 or 4 days later, they're having problems at home, marriage problems or children's problems, and he had a message. He just preached that would straighten it out, but they wouldn't hear to hear it. You see? Now, I'll take questions. I want any question you want to ask me. It works. But you can't do it. The Holy Spirit's got to do it. Now, let me emphasize that. I can talk to your ears. Only the Holy Spirit can bring conviction. You got that? It's not, that's not your responsibility. Now, if he turns down what I talk to him, I'm going to meet God. I at least warned him. I'll have clean hands. Now, I work most of my family on both sides. There might be two or three not saved, but they've been saved since I got saved. One person in a family can revolutionize. One person in a church can affect the whole church. I went to a church one running 127. I quit a church, a big church downtown. Then I liked Dr. Hiles, Dr. Rice, and I believe in confrontational soul winning. And when they preached, nothing happened. When Dr. Hiles and Dr. Rice preached, the altar's full. So I wanted to be the winner. I chose Dr. Rice and Dr. Hiles. I went their route. And so I left. I went to this little church way out in the country, had one bathroom. You imagine what, and 100 and some people in the Sunday school church? Then I went to that church, and then we made an addition. I went out and got to be a deacon. So I told them, I said, you're backslidden, you're a deacon, and you say you love God. You want to sit home on Thursday night and let this town die and go to hell? I got all these business. I'm out doing it. Why don't you do it? The first night I went over there, I won the woman of Christ. She still yet lives in my town. She and her family, her husband's saved. He worked for me some. He's in heaven. And so they got that soul winning cut. See, if it was one or two or three of you just get together here and get going and start bringing people down the aisle, then after I win them, as you get this here, here's the next thing I'll say. Say, by the way, on Sunday morning, you're not ashamed of Jesus. You accept him. The Bible says Romans 10:9, I think, or 10:9. Whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. Remember that? Somewhere in there. Now, you're not ashamed of Jesus. Two or three ways that we could let people know, but you're supposed to let people know. We could put you on television. We could put you in a loudspeaker on a truck going up and down the road. But the best way, I think, let me come by. I'm quoting Dr. Hiles here, if you ever noticed. Best thing I can do, Sunday morning, I like to come by, pick you up, and take you to church. You sit with me in church. Even if you teach Sunday, get somebody to teach it. You sit with him. And then when I get him, I said, the pastor's going to get an invitation, let people know if they're not ashamed of Jesus, to make it known. And I walk down the aisle with you, and we tell the pastor what you did. And so then you get him to church, you get him that, and then you get him down here. The Bible says, well, after you receive Christ, the next thing is baptism. If you want to get baptized, you do that down here, personal worker. That church, 136, grew to about 800 or 900 when I left and bought the church I'm in now, John Vapersand. Bought it in 1970-71. He was an accountant and a deacon there at First Baptist, and he surrendered to preach. I called it college. They'd send me a preacher more up, and we started another church here in Ipsy. And they sent Dr. Vapersand up. He was a pastor of Vapersand then. Don't tell him I said that. He was hardly a good Sunday school teacher. He didn't know how to win souls. I took him out and taught him what Dr. Hiles had taught me, that person, what I was doing. Now he's a man of God. I tell you, he knows. He's a pastor. I die for him. I fight for him. Nobody criticizes in front of me. You say, well, I see right now you're busy. I told the pastor yesterday, how I get in most homes and I'm out, I try to find, if you got a boy or a girl comes to Sunday school on the bus or something other, I knock on your door and I'll say this. You got a son named John? He came to our school. He came to Sunday school and church. And I know you're interested in what we teach him. I'd like to have about 5 minutes of your time if I can and teach you. That's how I get in home. Most of the people are worried if I want somebody to cross some bus captain to go up and sign up boys and girls. I get that card and address and I go to the address. I go to the card and win them. Now, if I smell supper, somebody's cooking, I don't come in. I say, you're cooking dinner. I'll call back. What's a good time to come back again and tell you what I teach your boy? Now, if the dog comes through or if people rolled in, if you get busy, then say, well, I see right now you're busy. Let me come back later on time when you're more convenient. You try to make an appointment. Would Tuesday night, or if it's Monday night, would Wednesday night be, or not Wednesday, prayer meeting, would Tuesday night be okay? So can I come back tomorrow night? You make an appointment. Can I make an appointment to come and tell you? You understand? But there's certain occasions you don't want to go in. Another thing is, I will never go in a house if a woman's by her alone, by myself, and her husband's working. I won't go in a house like that. In my condo, I own a condo now. I have somebody to clean it, and I'd have my pastor pick me up. I'm going out to the airport on Saturday. He picks me up at 7 o'clock. I have the cleaner come at 7:30, and I say, here's the key, go in and clean it. And then, no, it's open. I said, you just lock it up and you go out. I won't let a woman in my condo alone with a boy. You have to be very careful, very careful. And so, that's any other questions? That's a good question. Now, what I'm doing, I'm working, folks. What I'm doing, working. The Holy Spirit's got to do it. But you talk about reservation. See, reservation, that's something new. It's not, hey, you ever been born again? You ever have everlasting life? You ever been, like, you don't start that. That comes later on. Reservation. Is my time up? I don't even know what it's called. Is it?
It is.
It is.
Thank you so much.
I'm on overtime. When you write my check, tell me. Now, here's the thing, Pastor. I've got a lot of these checks. You see the pastor. If you want some of these type tracks, you come and get them. See him. And try it. Don't knock it till you try it. I've been doing it now for, 30 years, 40, I don't know. 1 year, so 500 people. I forget how many people I did win the Christ. It's publishing the sword of the Lord. But I used to win, had seven businesses, and I see it go so well out knocking on doors two nights a week, and then they go out on the weekends.